Good evening and welcome to the KRFP Evening Report for Tuesday, January 6th, 2015. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. Bonner County Commissioners ask Federal Surface Transportation Board to include their concerns when approving coal railroad in eastern Montana because of the increase of coal shipments through the county. Federal Aviation Administration issues first agricultural drone exemption to Spokane Company. Moscow noise ordinance complaints down over the last year. Tom Lamar leaves Moscow City Council and council organization announced for 2015. We'll have details on those and other stories coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. A Spokane company is the first agricultural firm in the nation to receive a Federal Aviation Administration exemption from the rule banning drones for commercial purposes. The Spokesman Review website reports Advanced Aviation Solutions of Spokane says it will use a 1.5-pound fixed-wing drone to photograph crops from the air, looking at overall health of crops and trying to find pest infestations. The drones will also carry sensors to determine which fields need irrigation. The Advanced Aviation Solutions permit is one of two commercial drone permits announced today. The other is for Tucson-based Tierra Antigua Realty, which plans to photograph expensive properties for real estate listings. The Tierra Antigua permit is the first for a real estate company nationwide. The Federal Aviation Administration has already issued drone permits for filmmakers, landfill companies, and the oil and gas industry. The permits require FAA private pilot certificates for operators, and the drones must be within sight of the pilots at all times. The U.S. Forest Service has announced an avalanche danger alert for mountainous areas of the Boise National Forest. Forest officials say heavy wet snow from Sunday's storm has settled on top of lighter snow, increasing the risk of human-caused avalanches. The Washington Department of Ecology is offering recycling for spiral compact fluorescent lights and high-intensity discharge lights at the Whitman County Public Works Solid Waste Facility. The department says the newer fluorescent lights in common use contain mercury and should be disposed of properly or recycled. The solid waste facility is located at 252 Landfill Road between Pullman and Colfax. Whitman County deputies say they seized a quarter pound of methamphetamine and a small amount of heroin when they pulled over a man in downtown Colfax Saturday night. Deputies arrested 32-year-old driver Derek Hyatt of Snohomish, Washington, after finding various controlled substances and paraphernalia in his vehicle. Police say they found the quarter pound of methamphetamine in a second vehicle believed to be connected with Hyatt. Police arrested the driver of that vehicle, 31-year-old Christopher Paul Hammond of Mount Lake Terrace, Washington. Pullman police arrested two people for obstructing a public servant Saturday night after they received a complaint of a woman screaming so loudly they could hear her several blocks away. Police say a 31-year-old woman and a 30-year-old man were yelling at each other outside a tattoo shop on Northwest State Street after 11 p.m. Police say the two refused to tell police what they were arguing about or cooperate with them. The Idaho Department of Correction reports an Idaho Maximum Security Institution inmate and diagnosed schizophrenic died of an apparent self-inflicted injury late Sunday. 48-year-old Donald Peters Shriver of Buell was serving a life sentence for a 1997 Twin Falls County robbery. The Idaho Statesman says news reports from the 1990s say Shriver spent most of his adult life in prison. The Department of Correction reports Shriver was found unconscious in his cell at 11:12 p.m. Sunday night and was taken to a hospital in Boise, where he was pronounced dead. Bonner County commissioners have asked the Federal Surface Transportation Board to include the county in its national environmental policy review of a plan to build a proposed 83-mile-long railroad in eastern Montana. Commissioners say the Tongue River Railroad between Miles City and Ashland, Montana, could have large impacts on Bonner County because it will access coal that will be shipped through the Idaho Panhandle on its way to the West Coast. Bonner County commissioners say they want the Surface Transportation Board to schedule public hearings on the rail line in Sandpoint, Bonner's Ferry, East Hope, and other affected communities along the connecting rail lines that would carry the coal. The Bonner County Daily Bee quoted Commissioner Glenn Bailey saying, "It is both reasonable and prudent for cities, towns, other representative bodies or officials to ask the Surface Transportation Board to use the Tongue River Railroad proceeding to ensure that taxpayers are not footing the bill for industry profits by requiring railroads to pay an increased share for the rail mitigation costs." Bailey said the Tongue River Railroad will lead to 100 million more tons of coal traveling through the county each year, in addition to the Powder River Basin coal already coming through from eastern Montana and northern Wyoming. He said the expected increase in trains could tie up grade-level crossings, slowing emergency vehicles, and interfering with local commerce. Some of the impacts could be mitigated if the railroad pays for new underpasses or overpasses. Besides a possible spike in coal shipments, Bonner County is also expecting an increase in oil trains carrying volatile North Dakota Bakken crude through the community. The Burlington Northern Santa Fe Railroad is proposing building a second train bridge over an arm of Lake Ponderé near Sandpoint to help carry the expected increase in rail shipments. The manager of the Port of Lewiston says shippers will no longer have to light load barges after the Snake River is dredged in the slack water behind the Lower Granite Dam. Port of Lewiston manager David Doringsfeld told the Lewiston Tribune, "As it stands now, experienced tugboat captains cannot safely navigate barges in the river because of the sediment buildup." The dredging, planned to begin next week after a federal judge rejected a lawsuit by the Nez Perce tribe and six environmental groups to stop it, will increase the depth of the shipping channel to 14 feet. Despite Monday's ruling by federal judge James Robart allowing the dredging to start, Kevin Lewis of the plaintiff group Idaho Rivers United told the paper his group will continue to work to show the public Lower Snake River barge transportation facilitated by the dams which cause silt to build up in the river doesn't make economic sense. Lewis said, "Obviously, we are disappointed the Corps is going to waste more taxpayer dollars supporting a barging system that provides very few benefits to society. It doesn't diminish the strength of our case, and we expect to prevail." More than 5 inches of rain fell in a 24-hour period in some areas west of the Cascades over the weekend, causing widespread flooding between Centralia and the Snoqualmie Valley. Rain has ended for now in the area, but rivers are expected to continue to rise. A mudslide in Hoquiam threatened numerous homes and ruined the foundations of 3 homes under a hillside. Police told 60 people to evacuate near the base of Beacon Hill in Hoquiam. Rain from the storm totaled 6.9 inches in Monroe, northeast of Seattle. Issaquah got nearly 5 inches. As the storm moved eastward, it dumped 5 to 10 inches of snow in the Spokane area, causing some school closures yesterday. Moscow Police Chief David Duke gave an annual report on the city noise ordinance at last night's city council meeting. At the request of citizens, the council has called upon the police chief to give a report on the noise ordinance every year since it was changed in 2008 to allow police to issue citations for noise they hear even if there are no complaints. Here's Chief David Duke's report, including comments and questions from Mayor Bill Lambert and City Council members Walter Steed and Dan Karskalin.
2014, we saw 577 noise complaints. Of those, 5 citations were issued. Those fines ranged from 255 to 455. Of those 5 citations, 2 were found guilty or pleaded guilty, and 2 were dismissed, and 1 is currently pending at this point. All of them were written on the state statute in Title 18 under Disturbing the Peace, but there are 3 other alternatives left at the discretion of the officers, but all of them chose to write under the title misdemeanors under Idaho Code. If you recall back in 2008, the City Council decided to make a change to our ordinance, and in that I have the statistics from the previous 2 years before that and then as they go on. Before 2008, it was required to issue a warning to the violator prior to being issued a citation. And on top of that, we had to wait a total of 48 hours within that time period to issue a citation. Anything outside 48 hours required additional warning and another new time period. The council determined that under the resolution that it wished to allow a police officer to issue a citation where the officer personally observed the violation and has reasonable grounds to believe that the person committed the offense, and also it is believed that allowing police officers discretion to issue a citation for violation of the noise ordinance without a warning will lead to the perseverance of peace and quiet within the city. As you can see, the calls have slowly gone down from 2008 to 2014, and you can see that there is a 40% decrease in noise ordinance calls that we respond to. So I think within the intent of the resolution and the council's willingness to change that where an officer can write the citation without having a citizen sign it, we have reached that resolution at this point. And I'm open to any questions that you have at this time.
Chief Duke, it appears to all of us up here, anyway me, that it is working very, very well since we employed that noise ordinance in 2008, and which gives our officers other things that they can do rather than track somebody down in a noisy house full of folks that are having a great time.
Yes, sir.
Walter?
Chief, do you see a plateau in this? Do you believe we have yet reached the lowest number that a college town can expect to receive in a year, or do you have any way to guess?
I would say we're probably going to be in the 500 to 400 range out calls per year at this point. I don't see it going down any further than this, but things might change. But at this point, on average, we were between 1,000 and 900 before 2008, and I'm pretty sure we're about where we're going to be at for the remainder, at least where I can see, unless something changes.
Thank you.
Dan?
Why the 20-call drop-off, you think, over the last year as far as the citations?
What happens is the officers are able to provide education to the violator at that point, and they are told at that point that if they don't turn it down, they'll be issued a citation immediately upon coming back. Are within a time period, usually within 2 or 3 weeks instead of the 48 hours. So I believe that has had a significant impact on the ones that are actually violating the ordinance and have decided to continue on in that type of behavior.
That was Moscow Police Chief David Duke giving an updated report on the city's 2008 noise ordinance and answering questions from City Council members Walter Steed and Dan Karskalin at last night's Moscow City Council meeting. You're listening to KRFP Moscow Pullman. This is the KRFP Evening Report. Moscow City Councilmember Tom Lamar stepped down last night after 7.5 years on the council to take a position on the Latah County Commission after winning an election against Shirley Green in November. During the two city council elections in which he ran in 2007 and 2011, in which the top three vote-getters received four-year terms on the council, Lamar got more votes than any other candidate. One reason for that might be Lamar's continual involvement with local civic organizations, boards, and commissions. Last night, Mayor Bill Lambert gave a slide presentation which included a list of Lamar's affiliations.
Tom was appointed to the Moscow City Council in June of 2007 to fill a vacancy. I'm going to read a number of different bullet points on Tom. And Tom, if I miss something here at the very end, I want you to chime in and let me know. He was elected to a four-year term in November of 2007 and was reelected for another four-year term in November of, 2007 and 2011. Tom's been the executive director of Palouse Clearwater Environment Institute since 1990. Tom is a founding member of the Latah Trail Foundation. Tom taught conservation leadership for 6 years at the University of Idaho. Tom holds a master's degree at Washington State University and a bachelor's from University of Delaware. Tom has lived in Moscow for 30 years. He's got three daughters, all of who graduated from Moscow High and are alumni of or current students at the University of Idaho. Tom was a commissioner for the Moscow Urban Renewal Agency from 2009 to 2013. Tom served on various selection committees for city staff members and independent contractors. He's even served as an acting mayor at one time here. Tom was on the Moscow Transportation Commission for 9 years, vice president of the Latah Trail Foundation for 14 years, Idaho Carbon Sequestration Commission member, that was a governor appointee for Tom, 1912 Center Mayor's Task Force, Mountain View Road Task Force, liaison to Clearwater RC&D, four city commission appointments by various mayors, and those mayors included Paul Agidius, Marshall Comstock, and Nancy Cheney. Two Idaho commission appointments by Governors Phil Batt and Dick Kempthorne. U of I Agriculture Economic and Rural Sociology Advisory Board from 2002 to 2005. Moscow Chamber Government Affairs Committee. Moscow Chamber Entrances Committee. U of I Enrichment Program Advisory Board. Tom, of course, has raised three incredible daughters. I mentioned that earlier here in Moscow. The Moscow Food Co-op member for 30 years, Moscow Chamber of Commerce member for 21 years, Pullman Chamber of Commerce member for 20 years, Idaho Gem Star Coordinating Committee for 10 years, Moscow Chinook Masters Swimming Treasurer for 15 years, League of Women's Voters member, Latah County Historical Society member, Hamilton Lowe Aquatic Center Campaign member, University of Idaho Biosafety Committee 2003, Moscow Downtown Revitalization Committee from 2000 to 2001, Valley Transit Board member from 2003 through 2006.
Moscow Mayor Bill Lambert. Lambert went on to list liaison positions Lamar held with city commissions while serving on the council. Lamar had these comments last night.
The issues that I've been most proud of, working with other council members, mayors, city commissions, and city staff, of course, I think are best characterized as making Moscow a leading city in Idaho. The clean indoor air ordinance that ended smoking in bars in Moscow was a proud making moment for me. I really enjoyed the bike ride home from that city council meeting. The anti-discrimination ordinance that we passed, preventing discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity, support of the Moscow Pullman Airport expansion, leading the way for other entities to also support this important step, the various mobility efforts and transportation planning that has encouraged people to make personal choices, increasing the number of non-motorized trips in Moscow. Those things including sharrows, commitment to decent bike racks, safe and connected sidewalks, etc. Our support of transit in Moscow leading to a growing transit system, including many useful and attractive bus stops and multimodal transit center. Our support for the ball fields in a location that's relatively central to much of the city's residential population. And the use of the Hamilton funds, I think, was an excellent choice that helped Moscow voters to support the school district levy, leading to eventual construction of those fields. I'm proud, also of our excellent fiscal management in the city. I'm proud of the budgets developed by our mayors and staff and the recognition that the city has received over the years. We've received various awards in smart growth, children at play, urban forests, and equality. We've done a lot of work at the city, fundraising, lots of collaboration with our staff, writing grants for the city. I can't remember, but it's over $7 million in the last 7 years, I think. So that's I think, very exciting. Our effort to get the Blackbird Crossing moving forward, honoring the work of a fallen former city council member, John Dickinson. I'm proud of our Moscow Farmers Market and all the recognition it gets, and proud of this city's collaboration with other political entities, which I intend on continuing from the other side, continuing to reach back to the city and continuing to work well. So I think it's definitely a great group of people here at the City of Moscow, including the City Council, the mayor, the staff, and all the citizen commissions and volunteers and so forth that make this happen. And, of course, the city residents that expect quality from the people running the government. So thanks all for a fun time. It's been great, and I appreciate all your friendship. Thank you.
Outgoing Moscow City Council member Tom Lamar, who is heading up the Hill to take a job as a Latah County Commissioner this week. Mayor Lambert appointed Jim Boland to the council to replace Lamar for the last year of his term. That appointment was confirmed by the council last month, and Boland took the oath of office from City Clerk Stephanie Kalaz last night.
Do you, Jim Boland, solemnly swear that you will support the Constitution of the United States, the Constitution of the State of Idaho, and that you will faithfully discharge the duties of council member in the City of Moscow, Latah County, Idaho, according to the best of your ability?
I will.
Another item of business at last night's meeting was the organization of the City Council for 2015, with Councilmember Walter Steed making the motion.
I would make a motion that the Council approve the following proposed City Council assignments for 2015. As Council President, Dan Karskallen. Council Vice President, Wayne Krause. The administrative committee will be moved to 4:30 p.m. the second and fourth Mondays, with Chair Dan Karskallen and members John Weber and Jim Boland. That the Public Works Finance Committee would meet at 3 p.m. the second and fourth Mondays, with Chair Wayne Krause and members Art Betke and myself. The city has multiple standing commissions and committees that the council performs liaison duties with, and I would, as part of that motion, make the following assignments. The Arts Commission, Dan Karskallen. Building Code Advisory Committee, Walter Steed. Fair and Affordable Housing Commission, Art Betke. Farmers Market Commission, Wayne Krause. Historic Preservation Commission, Wayne Krause. Human Rights Commission, John Weber. Paradise Path Task Force, until such time as the council might take action on their reconfiguration, would be Jim Boland, and I would imagine that that would continue if they are reconstituted as a commission. Parks and Rec Commission, Dan Karskallen. Planning and Zoning Commission, John Weber. Sustainable Environment Commission, Art Betke. Transportation Commission, Jim Boland. And the Tree Commission, Dan Karskallen. In addition to those standing commissions and committees, we have other organizations with which we liaison. And I would also include in that motion the following assignments: to the Clearwater Economic Development Agency, Wayne Krause; to the Clearwater RC&D, Jim Bolin; to the Latol Economic Development Council, Wayne Krause; to the Moscow Volunteer Fire Department, Walter Steed; to Palouse Basin Aquifer Committee, Walter Steed; and to the Palouse Knowledge Corridor, Wayne Krause.
That was Moscow City Councilmember Walter Steed. The committee and commission liaison positions were approved unanimously. An Idaho state trooper avoided prison but must spend 4 months in jail after pleading guilty to fraud and two other crimes. 48-year-old Daniel Charles Howard resigned from the state police in November and pled guilty to using a fictitious name on a motorcycle title application and possessing a white-tailed deer without a hunting tag. He entered Alford pleas on felony malicious injury to property and petty theft charges. Howard told Judge Benjamin Simpson at his sentencing in Coeur d'Alene yesterday, "I screwed up and I stand here utterly ashamed. I will forever endeavor to correct these wrongs." Simpson imposed a suspended 3-year sentence and ordered Howard to 4 months in jail and 600 hours of community service. Judge Simpson said he considered the stress Howard was under when he returned to duty in 2011 after killing a woman while on duty and then finding out his best friend had an affair with his wife. Simpson said, "It's obvious to me that you were not yourself. You were a broken human being. You rehabilitated yourself. A lesser man could not have done that." Spokane City Council President Ben Stuckert unsuccessfully tried to gavel an unruly audience of about 100 to order last night and eventually ended the meeting and left. Most of the crowd came to testify against a new city ordinance backed by Stuckert requiring police not to ask people they stop about their immigration status. 3 people also spoke in favor of the ordinance. According to a report in the Spokesman Review, people at the meeting told the city council the city has become a sanctuary city catering to illegal aliens and terrorists. One member of the public said the city was violating the higher law of God by making legal what is lawlessness. Another member of the public said Spokane would become a horrible, dangerous, crime-ridden city because terrorists are coming over our borders, especially the southern one. Opponents to the ordinance are now trying to collect 14,000 signatures to get a repeal on the November ballot. The 100 hunters who took part in a controversial wolf and coyote hunting derby Friday through Sunday killed 50 coyotes but no wolves on Forest Service and private land near Salmon. Environmental groups had tried unsuccessfully to get the Forest Service to cancel the derby, although the BLM withdrew their permit for the hunt. Organizers say a 4.9 magnitude earthquake that hit the area Saturday morning spooked the animals and made hunting difficult. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, be sure to donate to KRFP through the website krfp.org. The weather forecast for the Moscow Pullman area: partly cloudy tonight, low 32, mostly sunny, high 43 tomorrow. Mostly cloudy Wednesday night with patchy fog after 10 p.m., low 31.